Well, this morning I want us to think about the surprises. The surprises we receive in the Christmas story. And in particular, the surprise we receive as we accept Jesus Christ into our lives. And so we're going to introduce that really by asking a few questions about some of the surprises you might have received this Christmas time. And I'm starting, of course, with the young people, though I'm sure the adults got some presents they want to share as well with us. But I'm assuming that some of our young people here got some presents under the tree this Christmas or in a stocking at the end of the bed. I know that Ben got one on Christmas Day because I saw it. Ben, what did you get for Christmas? A Manchester United goalkeeper kit. And this kit, I'm right in saying, is bright, bright yellow, wasn't it? Ben was our Christmas star on Christmas morning. He was bright yellow. And you've got gloves as well. You've got the whole thing. He's got the gloves with him. Excellent. He's obviously thinks he's going to have to do some saving today. So there we go. Finsky, what did you get? FIFA 16. To be fair, I knew he was going to say that. FIFA 16, which is, of course, one of those computer console games, a footballing game. And suffice to say, as soon as I got back to Finn's, all I heard about was FIFA this, FIFA that, and which is, to be honest, what Emma has to put up with me most of the time as well. So it's some things never change, even as we grow up. But Archie and Alice, did you get any presents this Christmas?
I got a Minecraft animator set.
Wow, okay. I still don't fully understand Minecraft, but I've seen it. It's incredible the things you can build on that. Alice? Oh, fantastic. So have you been out playing on that already, have you? Brilliant. Some fantastic gifts. Now, so lots of these things. I imagine that some of you may have asked for particular gifts. You may have written a list. I know that I wrote a list for Emma, which she then passed on to those near and dear who obviously got things from those from that list. But there may have been other things that were more of a surprise to you, that you hadn't anticipated. Did anyone get any surprises this Christmas? Yes, Mark. Indigestion. Yeah. Always a surprise. Not one that you necessarily wanted, though, I suspect. Yeah. Did anyone else get any other surprises other than indigestion? No surprises this Christmas. I got a surprise this Christmas because whilst I said I wrote a list for Emma, I gave her a list of things I wanted, and I mean, to be honest, it takes me a little while to come up with a list. But when I opened my presents from Emma on Christmas morning, one of the things wasn't amongst them, and I thought, well, she wouldn't have passed that on to someone else to get me. And so when I opened it at Pete and Al's, something they'd bought me, I was most surprised. So if you thought, well, Ben's top was quite bright, but mine just as well. There we go. That's my new Sunderland away shirt. New Sunderland away shirt. I was going to wear it this morning, but I thought I might get told off. Although, Ben, if you were wearing yours again, we might have been out of strength in numbers, you see. So, I got a Sunderland shirt, which was a big surprise, because, like I say, when I didn't receive it from Emma, I thought, well, maybe I'm not going to get that this year. She bought me another surprise. Actually, she's got me a new wallet, so there's no excuse now. So I think she's hoping I'll open it up a little bit more in the new year. So there we go. But all sorts of surprises, and Hadley loves surprises as well. One of the things that we do, if you've been to our house, you'll know that we've got the staircase kind of in the middle, and then you can run from the hallway into the lounge, and then from the lounge into the kitchen back into the hallway, so you can do a little circuit, and we chase each other around, and then occasionally, if I get sufficiently far enough ahead of him, I'll dive behind a curtain or behind a sofa, and then jump out at him and surprise him. The issue I've got at the moment is that Hadley's now quicker than me. So I'll try and hide somewhere, turn around ready to jump out, and he's already there going, boom! And he's startling me now. But the other day, Hadley and I were reading through this book, and Hadley loves lions. And whenever he sees a lion, he goes, rah! And he's not going to do it for us now. He's not a performing monkey, unfortunately. But the other day, we were reading this book, and I opened it up to him, and we just went like this. And he saw this lion pop out, and he just went, and he pelted for the door, he just ran off. He was absolutely terrified. He was surprised by what he saw in there. He didn't anticipate seeing this. Oh, yes, you're quite right, it is yours. Do you want to take that to Mummy? You take that to Mummy? Don't fall down. He fell down earlier on, coming down those stairs. I had to dust him off. There we go. Excellent. Well done. So Hadley loves surprises. There we go. He's taken his surprise and run off with it. And we all like surprises, good surprises, not the indigestion type, but the good surprises we like. But sometimes when we come to the Bible, and when we come in particular to this Christmas story that we unpack each year, because it's so familiar to us, because we know the end from the beginning of this story, and we think we know it so well, we lose sight of the surprise, the great surprise that this gift was to the world. and some of the surprises that came along the way. And so what I want us to do this morning in between singing is to look at some of these stories. I want us to look at Zechariah and how he was greatly surprised at this news, at Joseph. And then after we've sung again, we're going to look at the shepherds and the wise men. And we're hopefully going to rekindle in our hearts a sense of the surprise, that original surprise that we should experience as we acknowledge God, who entered the world through his Son, Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son. He came into this world. And so I want just to read to you a couple of verses from Scripture, and then we're going to sing our next carol. But I want to read to you from John chapter 1, verses 6 through to 14, where it says this: God sent a man, John the Baptist, to tell about the light, so that everyone might believe because of his testimony. John himself was not the light. He was simply a witness to tell about the light. The one who is the true light, who gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He came into the very world he created, but the world didn't recognize him. He came to his own people, and they rejected him. But to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. They are reborn not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. So the Word became human and made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son. Such a surprising passage for us to come to, that God should step down into this world to rescue us from the mistakes that we've made. This is the Christmas surprise for us. So, Christmas, a time of wonderful surprises, and not just the surprises we get under the tree, but the surprise of this good news that we receive in Scripture, the news that heralds the arrival of Jesus Christ, the newborn King. And the first person I want us to think about this morning is Zechariah. Zechariah, who was a priest in the division of Abijah, it tells us in the Bible. And so we say this, that for Zechariah, he would have had the responsibility of going to the temple at different points throughout the year. And whilst he was there, he would have carried out alongside all the other priestly division he was with, the particular duties that were given to the priests to do. So they would have been given jobs to do during that time. And one of the jobs in particular that Zechariah would have had to do would have been, or at least one of the priests would have had to do, was the burning of the incense on each day as an offering to the Lord. And so they would go into the Holy of Holies, they would go into the temple itself, only one of them, and they would burn the incense as an offering to the Lord. But most priests only got to do this once. They would cast lots to decide who out of that particular division that were at the temple at the time would go in to perform this most special of sacrifices. And so if you were a priest, you would look forward to with anticipation the opportunity to carry out this act of service to God. You would wait with anticipation for the opportunity to do this. In fact, many of the priests would never get the opportunity to perform this task. They would never actually be the person that would have the lots cast and it would be them that would get to do this. Many of them wouldn't even get this opportunity. And those that did, it would only be once. And so there was a great sense of anticipation about the opportunity to do this. So much so that I would imagine Zechariah went through this in his mind time and time again. How he was going to perform this most sacred duty. How he was going to seek to carry it out without flaw, without imperfection. He was going to make sure he did it exactly the way he had been taught to do it. He was going to do this as an act of service to God and burn the incense as an offering to him. So he'd run through it in his mind time and time again how he was going to do this. I wonder if any of you have had an occasion that you've anticipated so much, that you've been looking forward to so much, and you've thought how it's going to go. You've planned it out in your minds. You've thought through what's going to happen. Some of you may have had quite strict plans as to how Christmas Day was going to go, only to have them perhaps unravel on you at the last minute. But you may have been so excited about different things that you've thought through how they might go. I remember when I was at primary school, and you know that time of year when you get to the end of the year in July time and you're thinking about September and you're going up to a new class, a new teacher, not new subjects necessarily, but more difficult
elements of those subjects, and you think through what it's going to be like going into that new class, that new setting. And inevitably it doesn't turn out quite how you expected. For me, it was normally things were a little bit more difficult than I anticipated, and I perhaps struggled. But we can plan and plan and plan, and we can picture things in our own mind, and we can get things the way we think they ought to be. But sometimes things don't happen the way we expect. And so Zechariah, who has planned and planned what it will be like to perform this most sacred duty, he goes into the temple because on this, in Luke's Gospel, as we read, it was him that was chosen to go in that particular morning. And he goes in to carry out this act. And there, as he's doing these things, an angel of the Lord appears. Wow, an angel of the Lord appears. I mean, we need to put this in context because there has been a silence for some 400 years between that in the Old Testament and here now in the New Testament where we're reading about Zechariah in the temple. No one has heard from God since the prophecies of the Old Testament. And all of a sudden, the angel of the Lord appears before Zechariah on this most special of occasions. And what does the angel say to Zechariah? Well, the angel foretells that he and his wife Elizabeth, who are both old in age, so here's another big surprise, they're going to have a child. And that child will be John the Baptist. And his job will be to point the way to another, will be to prepare people's hearts for another, the Messiah, the Saviour who is to come. So Zechariah has had this massive shock and surprise. He's there in the temple, ready to do his duties, and all of a sudden, an angel of the Lord appears. Big surprise. Surprise number two. Zechariah, you're going to have a child. Despite being old of age, you and Elizabeth are going to have a child. And surprise number three. That child will point the way to another. My Saviour, my Messiah that I'm sending in to the world. Big surprises that Zechariah experiences here. And yet because we know the beginning from the end of this story, we perhaps lose sight of the massive surprise that this news is, the wonderful surprise that this good news is to Zechariah, and indeed is to us this morning. Surprising events bring surprising news. That God should intervene in such a way in the lives of humanity to rescue us. Surprising news. I want us now to think about Joseph as well. We've got Zechariah. He's had this big occasion in his life, interrupted in a certain sense, but he's, I'm sure he was happy for it in the end. He was very fearful to begin with. In fact, he was struck speechless and couldn't speak until much later on when he just erupts in praise towards God. But he was surprised and he was fearful. And another person who was surprised at Christmas time is Joseph. Because Joseph was pledged to be married to Mary in this engagement. And so if any of you, lots of people here have been engaged and have got married since. It's a really exciting time, this engagement to another person. A sense of anticipation and excitement about a life together. The things that you're going to look forward to. And so Joseph and Mary have been pledged to one another and have had this excitement building. But then news reaches Joseph that Mary is pregnant. And yet they've not been together. And so he thinks, well, it can't be mine. And so there is this shock in Joseph's life. And he thinks to himself, well, how can I sort this situation out? You know, I need to divorce Mary because I need to do that which is right, that which God's word instructs. But I also don't want to do so in a way that brings dishonor and shame to Mary. And so Joseph is caught in a real mess as to what to do until he receives a second surprise that helps him out of this situation. You see, Joseph has a dream. He's dreaming one night, and again, the angel of the Lord appears to Joseph in his dream and tells Joseph not to fear. And the angel of the Lord explains what's going to happen. He explains that Mary is with child, yes, but this child is of the Holy Spirit. That it is God's child that is in the womb of Mary. And so Joseph is overjoyed by this news and overjoyed by the fact that this child that is God's son, would grow up to be the saviour of his people. He'll be called Jesus because he will save them from his sins. This incredible news, this incredible surprise that Joseph receives. And we see the way that God is working out this plan, that this is God's plan and providence to save his people. We think about the elaborate steps, in a sense, that God went to reveal this purposeful plan, this surprise to his people.
I think about good news. If you've got good news to share with someone, you might try and surprise them with it. You don't surprise people with bad news. I'm thinking if Emma came home one day and I had a treasure hunt at the front door for her, a clue that led to another clue somewhere else in the house, and another clue that led to another clue somewhere else in the house, and then at the end of that was a surprise for her, and it was a water bill. She wouldn't be overly impressed. But here, God is surprising us with the best news of all. The news of a saviour. The news of one who's come into this world to save us from the mistakes that we've made, from going in our own direction. God surprises us at Christmas time. He surprised Zechariah. He surprised Joseph. And he surprises us afresh with this wonderful, wonderful news. This good news that we are to take to heart. And so now we come to the story of the shepherds who now after the birth of Jesus are in the hills above Bethlehem tending to their flocks of sheep. And shepherds, it would be fair to say, would be brave, rugged, strong chaps. And so if you're wanting to picture the image, then I lead you no further in your imaginations than to me. No, I was going to get Ben up, to be honest, to give you the picture of bravery. But these shepherds, they would be brave. They would be courageous people that would stay out with the sheep. Why? Because the shepherds would have the responsibility of protecting the flock from would-be thieves and robbers. So people that would seek to steal the sheep or the flocks themselves, the shepherds would stay out with them overnight to make sure they were kept safe. But more than this, the shepherds also had the responsibility of keeping the flocks safe from wild animals. So from wolves and from mountain lions and bears, anyone or anything that might prey on the sheep. So they would have to be brave and courageous people to stand up to these potential threats. They would have to be prepared and on their guard. And as such, these aren't the kinds of people that are easily surprised. They're on guard for these kinds of surprises. Not the kind of surprise that's going to happen, but they're ready for surprising turn of events. They are alert and they are ready. There'd be a group of shepherds and they would take it in turns to stay awake and keep watch of the flock over night time. And it's dark as well. No light pollution from Taunton or from Exeter. You've got the stars in the sky and the moon, and that's all that would provide light overnight. It's a dark place. And so all of a sudden, these people that are so difficult to surprise or take by surprise, all of a sudden a bright light shines around them. The angel of the Lord appears to them and the glory of God is around them. This takes the shepherds completely by surprise. Those that aren't easily to be taken by surprise are completely in surprise at what they see, at what they behold, and the message that is given to them. So can you imagine the glory of the Lord shining around them, that there was darkness and all of a sudden a bright light, and then this message that is delivered to them, this message that comes in the form of a bright light and the delivery from the angel. What a surprise to be given this message. And there's another surprise as well, that these are shepherds. We pick up on this theme quite often. For as much as the shepherds were brave, and for as much as they would have been courageous people, they were actually disliked by the majority of people. They were looked down upon by the majority of people because they were considered unclean. They would spend so much time out in the wilderness with the flocks that they would end up by looking and sometimes smelling like the flocks. They were disliked from that point of view. But also, because they couldn't get back to the temple to offer their sacrifices, they were considered spiritually unclean. They were pushed to one side and considered the least of the least. And so here is another big surprise that we need to take a hold of. That God should announce by an angel to these undesirable people that his son has arrived. The King of Kings has arrived and has been born in Bethlehem. This is surprising news. And you know, as I reflect upon this, I reflect in my own heart, and I have to accept how surprising it is that God Almighty, should step down into creation and should make this good news known to my heart. To me, who, like the shepherds, is one who makes mistakes and gets things wrong and sometimes feels on the periphery of things. And yet God invites each of us to bear witness to this good news through Scripture, that is revealed to us in his word, that we too can be surprised by this wonderful news that comes to us at Christmas. God sent his Son into the world for us. What a wonderful surprise. And in fact, it's summarised for us in Luke chapter 2, verse 11. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord. For me, for you, for the shepherds, for those that were least expected to be invited to come into the presence of the newborn king, for them a Saviour has been sent. And they were invited to come to see the king. I wonder what would happen if I were to tell you that the Queen was stopping by after this church service to your houses. In fact, more than just stopping by, she's going to meet you there by the time you get back. So there's no time to go in and to clear away the clutter, to pick up the remaining bits of wrapping paper that might still be on the floor, or to try and spray some air freshener to get rid of the leftover turkey smell that's been lingering for a couple of days now. No time to do any of these things. No time to get out of your Sunday best into your Queen Sunday best, or any of those other things. No time to get into your Manchester United jersey, Ben. It's too late. The Queen's already arrived. But God tells us here that whilst we are to prepare our hearts for him, that God accepts us just as we are. What a wonderful surprise to know that God will receive us as we are. Even if we sometimes feel like we're not in our Sunday best, even if we feel like we're in our tatty clothes, if we feel like we've been out in the wilderness for too long, God's surprise to us at Christmas time is that he invites us, just as we are, to bear witness to this good news and to accept this gift that God gives us. And then finally we have the wise men. The wise men who are, as the word describes, wise, unsurprisingly. They are considered by many people to be kings. Others say they're astronomers and people that study the maps of the stars. But either way, they've looked up into the skies. They've seen the stars as they are. They've read the prophecies of the Jewish religion, of the Old Testament. And they consider that now is the time that God will send his Son into this world. And so they journey from far away to see, to witness this newborn king. And when they arrive in the land where Jesus has been born, they ask after where this newborn king is. And perhaps unsurprisingly, they expect there to be perhaps a king who is surrounded by royal splendour. But they don't. They don't find a king in the form that they should expect. A newborn king, yes, but they find this king in relative poverty. They find this king living with Mary and Joseph, in a family, in a community. So they're surprised by the circumstances that they find Jesus in. But rather they're taken back by an even bigger surprise. Because as they behold Jesus laying in a manger, as they behold Jesus, the newborn king, they realise the truth. They realise that this truly is the King of Kings, the newborn king. That this really is the Son of God. And so to their great surprise, they fall down before the King of Kings and they worship him and they praise him. They worship and they praise. I wonder whether in our surprise this Christmas we stop and think about the baby born in a manger. And whether as well as being a baby born in a manger, we stop and say, this is the King of Kings. This is the Messiah. This is the Son of God who was sent for you, for me, for the shepherds, for the wise men, that we all might come before him and find and unwrap this most amazing of surprises, a gift that God gives us, a rescue plan that would be outworked by his Son. How surprising that we should come to this, that we should unwrap this most incredible present in our hearts afresh and acknowledge these things. And Jesus, that baby born in a manger, he grew up. He grew into a man and he lived an obedient life following his Father, his heavenly Father's will. He loved us. He was kind and compassionate to those that he met. He taught us. He inspired us. He gave us directions, instructions, teachings to follow. And he loved and he loved and he loved and he outpoured his love wherever he went. And he followed his Father's will. And he followed his Father's will even to the cross. That at the end of this earthly life of our Messiah, there is such a surprise that we should see our Saviour go to the cross on our behalf, that we might know new life, to have new life in him, and to be called, as we read in John chapter 1 already this morning, sons and daughters of God, children of God. What a wonderful surprise for us to unpack this Christmas. And so I think it's fitting, as we reflect upon the gift that is given, that we actually now come to a time of communion, where we reflect upon that life that was born, that was laid down for us, and that was taken back up and rose again from the grave for us. Jesus Christ, our Saviour. And so, loving Heavenly Father, we thank you that we have this morning once more been able to reflect upon this gift that you have given us all, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour. And Father, we thank you for the many gifts you pour into our lives, so much so, Lord, that we are able to offer back to you a token, Lord, a gift that we place into your hands and say, Lord, use according to your will and purposes, that your kingdom might be furthered here on these black downhills. And so, Father, we ask as we leave and depart from one another this morning that you would help us to carry in our hearts the joy and rejoicing of this great news, this great surprise, that you should so intervene in our lives and rescue us to bring us back to yourself, that we might know the wonder of your grace and mercy, and that we might know it through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour. And so we offer up these prayers of thanksgiving now in his most glorious name. Amen. Amen.